BNC, pardon me, an N to PL2 from United adapter.
Okay, I'm having a little trouble visualizing why you're not going. You went through the foam completely?
No, I'm just making a nest for the connector.
Oh, this is for a packing case.
Yes, that's what this conversation started with, if you remember. I have a, actually, you know what? I think I lost your phone number. Let me check, right? I lost a lot of phone numbers the other day, so let me just check something here. Let me just enter Richard into the net since he was lurking. See if I can find my directory listing here, because I think somehow or another I lost a bunch. Let's see, Bruce. Just see if I have you. Yes, I have lost you. Oh wait, maybe not. Let's see, what's this one? Yes. You're not at bubble.org, are you?
That's one of my addresses, yes.
Okay, I have your email, I don't have your phone. Alright. I will shoot you a note with and request your phone number back. But anyway, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you a picture of this thing via email.
Okay, you just want to put the connector in straight up and down, Gordon, or are you trying to lay this thing out sideways? So are you trying to make a trough, or are you just trying to make a straight hole?
Sets of straight holes of various diameters and depths, depending on what adapter I want to drop it in. But there's plenty of spare real estate in the foam, you know, inside the case. I'm going to send you a picture in a second.
Okay, I'll shoot you an email also on the other thing. Okay, Gordon, check your email. W2TTT. W2SE.
Yeah, I'm having trouble here with my phone. It's taking the picture, but it's not doing what I expected it to do with the picture. I got it. Here, you know what? Let me just... number ending in zero is your cell. Let me text it to you that way.
I don't think I get MMS on the cell.
Oh, all right. Never mind. It was a thought. Ah, dear me. All right, let me see what I can do. Hold on.
You can certainly email it to the either of the other two numbers. Actually, let me think. What's the best way to... Just email it to the bubble address. You're going to be there at the contest at VHF this weekend, right?
Well, I'm supposed to be. The question is, can I? There's a little issue of overextending myself that I need to, like, ramp back.
Now, we can always brainstorm on the weekend or brainstorm next kit night. I'll come up with some ideas. I want to think about it. Also, the fact that this hole is not all the way through the foam. It's only part way through the foam. Unless, of course, you core the thing the entire way and put part of the core back in.
No, because I would have to tear up the foam to do that. And that clearly is not going to happen.
Yeah, blind hole in foam is a little more challenging.
Yeah, no, I know. All right, hold on for a second. I need both hands.
W2TU.
Well, welcome back.
Press service, we've joined at the open at this hour.
Off, and the handoff, and hopefully Saturday I'll get to hook it up and try it out.
Yeah, you do want to coil up that extra coax, preferably as close to the shack as you can.
Yes, I will do that. Like I said, when Willie P, AA2WP, came over to help me put this antenna up, I was in a cast and on crutches.
Your email, Bruce.
Yeah, understood. We've all been there, had limited access to things and movement. Yeah, I'll check the bend radius on the LMR 400. That stuff doesn't like to be bent in very tight circles. What was the name of that antenna again that you've got?
It is a QSO King. You can look it up. At, they sell it exclusively on eBay. But the actual company that makes it is Maple Leaf Studios.
I'm just curious what kind of transformer they used on that thing, whether it's primary and secondary are independent, or whether the primary and secondary share a common ground with the shield of the coax.
I believe they do, there is a short between the two. It's a common ground.
It is a common ground.
Okay, I'm going to pull it up online and see what I can come up with, W2SC.
Unfortunately, the length that I have is, you know, I didn't want it to hang down, but I think I'm going to have to change the length of the wire and make it longer.
That makes sense. So what's your ultimate plan here? Are you going to try to, just extend the length and just have it go down and around wherever, or do you have a way to elevate that piece that you're extending it with?
I was thinking of temporarily hooking up an extra length of wire to it, and then somehow just hanging it around the backyard in a little bit of a loop configuration, just to see if it does help.
Alright. Have you ever used Google Earth on a tablet?
I have not.
Me neither, Gordon. I use it on a Mac.
You know, my desktop machine is not running right now, so it's really frustrating. Dear me. Just trying to figure out how to draw a line between the two. Just don't know how.
For what it's worth, Gordon, the picture of the balun shows what looks like a trifilar wound. Looks like magnet wire with Teflon over it. And the way those things are usually made is the first winding is in series with the second, which is in series with the third, and the first winding is the primary, and you tap the antenna off the top, and the ground is common. Looks like they've got a link for a counterpoise. The coax will also form a counterpoise on that kind of antenna.
Oh, yeah, by definition. That's why I'm thinking that his cable may be part of the issue. I personally would use a shorter piece of coax and be done with it.
But if you coil it up, even if it's a bigger coil, you're still going to get a common mode choke out of it as close to the shack as you can. It's a fairly common recommendation, and it's very broadband, and it has minimal effect on SWR and signal loss.
I guess what concerns me is that it may act as a pickup for the AM broadcast.
Well, it's kind of unclear where the AM broadcast is getting picked up, and it's obviously getting rectified. I kind of agree with that. So something has to act as a detector for it. The question is, where is it getting in at? Is it coming in through the power line? Or is it coming in through the antenna? Or is it getting in through something else in the shack? I don't know what kind of audio components are in there as well. Chris, does this signal show up on the S meter as a signal? Or you just have audio coming through from someplace?
You know, sometimes I can get an S Carrier 9 noise, and it'll come in with that. I'm not really, didn't really take notice to see if it was actually coming in with a carrier.
S9 noise level is kind of high. Definitely roll up that extra coax, and I'll go take a look and see what the bend radius. LMR 400, by the way, was way overkill for this application.
Well, I bought a spool of 500 feet of it, and my old house, I had five lengths of it running up to the roof for five different antennas, so that's why I used it.
Yeah, for HF, it's gross overkill and very expensive, as you already know. I would have used something much less expensive, depending on the power level. And you're only running 100 watts, I'm guessing?
I am only running 100 watts, and even with that, I usually only run the radio at about 75 watts.
I'll keep the heat sink a little cooler. I'm looking up the bend radius now, but let's say any kind of a coil close, as close to the receiver as you can get it, will choke out anything that's getting picked up from the outer shield of the coax in common mode. You've got a very unbalanced antenna there, and it is known for common mode of bringing RF back into the shack, so a choke close to the receiver is definitely a recommendation on that kind of configuration. Just as a general rule.
All right, gentlemen, I'm going to walk from the car back into the house, so I will be out of radio range for about 3 minutes. W2TU.
W2TTT. I got to go figure out what's wrong with this power supply. You know, this is one of the power supplies I was really proud of, and I've used them for a bunch of things, but I may be, I don't know, I may be either underfeeding it or meaning too low voltage, or I may have fried it, but it's one of those lovely little power supplies that you, oh God, what the hell is this thing called? You know the connector that's on all the Intel computers, that 20 or 24 pin connector? It's that guy, and except it allows you to put in 12 volts directly in, and it generates all the right voltages for the PC.
You talking about the power plug going to the motherboard?
Just drawing a blank on what the name of that card that power supply type is, but it's a specific type, and it's very cute because instead of a big honking box, I have this little 160-watt module. And for the size computer I'm running, it's under, you know, it's under, under tax.
W2TU.
Welcome back. I just got to step downstairs and grab a voltmeter, W2TTT.
You've got the regular LMR 400, not the flex version? Yeah, I have the regular version. I don't have the flex. I just want to make sure I'm looking at the right data sheet.
That could also be the problem. You could have broken something.
I did put an ohm meter to it, and that seemed to check out.
But it's claiming a 1-inch bend radius in the data sheet.
I have used, I bought a couple of jumpers, and it was the Timeplex, and I had a very tight radius on it, and I did damage it. So I don't like to bend it too tightly.
Okay, why don't you shoot for an 8-inch diameter coil, or actually more like a 9-inch if you measure on the outside. If you're using any kind of a coil form, 8 inches on the inside. And just roll it up and tape it together or tie wrap it together. You just make a big bundle of it. And I'm guessing 16, 20 turns or so will probably do the job, or anything more is a bonus.
Well, I have 8-inch PVC at work. I could actually bring a length of it home and actually coil it to that. And I could fit it behind this desk. I would just have to move it out a little bit.
Chris. Yeah, what you're trying to do is two things here, is get all that extra cable not laying on the ground so much. The other thing you do is bury the cable. That's another thought, but that's another discussion. And then take up all the excess slack, make a coil out of it without cutting it. And the other thing is making the coil into a common mode choke. And most of the common mode chokes are 5 or 6 inch on a coil form, but you get by with 8, and I'm guessing normally it's a 12 turns or 14 turns on 5 or 6 inch. Bigger form, maybe 16, 20 turns, or like I say, if you've got more, that's fine.
Well, the isolator I did a 20-foot section of the, what was it, the X? The silver coax. And that was only on a 3.5-inch piece, and I just didn't like the way it worked. I actually, I was able to pick up 6 meters, and then I lost 60 and 160. So, you know, that's why I pulled it back out.
Okay, I'm guessing you had RG8X, and what did you do with it?
I coiled it around a piece of 3.5-inch PVC. And it was 20 feet in length, you know, and I zip-tied 4-inch leads coming off of each end, and I put that by the balun.
Okay, the balun, I'm assuming the feed point, and I'm guessing the balun is up in the air at some number of feet.
WI2W.
Go ahead.
I'm back in the shack, at least for a couple minutes. If you put that choke up by the balun, that's a no-go for that design. That 9-to-1 balun needs the coax as a counterpoise. So if you put the choke up at the 9-to-1 transformer, you basically cut half the antenna off. It's no surprise it didn't work. So the place to put the choke is up against your radio, right? Or in your case, right after the tuner. Because the coax is actually part of the antenna in that design. Depending on the band you're on, you'll see more or less current on the outside of the shield, but that's part of the radiating element with that design.
Yeah, I did notice that. You know, that's why I pulled it away from the balun is about 6 feet off of the ground, and it's attached to the shed, not to the mast.
Okay, and how tall is the antenna off the ground?
So a coax, before you get to your tuner.
How high above the ground is the wire of the antenna itself?
It's 6 feet. It starts, the balun is at 6 feet, the wire goes 15 feet, so it's about 5 feet more before the wire then ascends up to the tree in the front of the house.
And how tall is the tree where the wire is attached?
We're saying about 70 feet. It's a pretty tall tree, and it goes up to the middle of the tree.
You've got an end fed, kind of an end fed sloper. Interesting. You'd be better off getting that balun and that wire up a lot higher on the feed point then.
Well, like I said, now that I'm out of cast and back to work, I have all the time in the world to sit here and play with it, you know. But like I was just saying, you know, with these sudden noise changes, you know, that's just one of the reasons why I brought it up.
Well, when you say sudden, is it off 1 second and on the next second, or is it start getting gradually higher and higher at noise level?
You doubled in the beginning on that one.
Hey, Chris, when you get noise, is the noise built gradually up to an S9, or is it all of a sudden on off? So it's off and the next second it's S9.
No, it's not a, like an intermittent, or it's not like, you know, where it comes and goes. It's a constant, and it will, that's why I'm thinking that's more of an atmosphere problem, where the noise will start out at 2, and then it'll go up to 9, and it'll slowly fade back down, so.
Well, 80 and 40 are well known for high noise levels, particularly 80. Especially daytime. You do want the choke on the inside close to the rig, as Steve mentioned. And I wouldn't do it on a 3-inch diameter. I'd do it on 5 or 6-inch diameter for the RG8X. And if you got LMR 400, you're just trying to make a coil of it. Since you only need 35 feet and you got 100 foot lung, just coil it up foot and a half diameter. You should be okay.
Well, anything is better than zigzagging it through a flower bed right now.
Roger, Chris. Steve, I think you doubled with Chris.
Yeah, I'm going to pull the switch and call it a night. Have a good night. Talk to you guys later. WI2W.
All right, Steve. Thank you. And, just shoot me your number over. I can't believe I ran out of the house without my cell phone.
Yeah, I just sent you an email, Chris. So you got my number. When you have a chance to play, give me a call. Let me know how you made out. See you guys later. WI2W. Good night.
Have a good night. Nice meeting you, and thank you.
Yeah, Chris. Just as a general rule, with that kind of antenna, it's essentially you get some high voltages, you get some other things, you do get some current on the outer shield of the coax coming back into the shack, and that's one of the reasons you want the choke there inside the shack, close to the radio. It will also, the outer shield of the coax will also pick up lots of other things, and the choke will generally kill that off. The filter that Steve loaned you, the broadcast filter, will probably also kill it off, but just having a coil in the shack, you know, for that kind of antenna, is just a general, you know, sort of first step thing to have.
Well, once again, you know, I appreciate everything. You know, I'd like to get on my radio a little more. And sometimes at nighttime, you know, it's to the point where I turn it on and I'll turn it right off because it just gets frustrating.
Understood. Steve and I both run NFED antennas very similar to what you're doing. We're running resonant links most of the time. Our transformers are wound a little differently than what you've got, but it's the same general idea. And at least some of my radios, and even Steve, I think, has experienced the problem on one of his radios, that sometimes the RF, the counterpoise, becomes the coax in some configurations. I think you mentioned you've got a separate counterpoise wire or two, but the coax will bring some RF back into the shack, and that will sometimes cause distorted audio. And we've run a couple of turns of the coax. We run a thin coax in our application through a clamp-on core, and that takes care of the problem very handily.
W2TU, now did you build your antennas or did you purchase them?
W2TU, W2SE. Oh, Chris, my name is Bruce, by the way. Bravo, Romeo, Uniform, Charlie, Echo. And I homebrew exclusively. I won't buy. I'm running basically low-power antennas, 100 watts and less, and I could build an antenna, a transformer, and everything else complete for about $15.
Like I just told Steve, I just recently moved into this house. My old house, the problem with that, though, is I had a 220-foot length property, but it was at the bottom of the hill going up to Wayne or North Haledon. So it was an unused property, and the taxes just kept going up and up. That would have been ideal for an antenna. But this one,
The way the property is configured, you know, I was considering I'm putting like a G5R type antenna up, but with that, I just don't have enough property to run the ladder line to a coax.
The biggest challenge most people have is the length of the property and how to support it on trees or some kind of a pole or mast or something on each end. There are other options. There are verticals. There are, you're doing an end fed right now. You can do an off-center fed, which is getting pretty popular again. I'm working on an off-center fed for the home QTH here. And that'll be up between some trees, fed with initially twin lead and maybe ladder line in a later incarnation down to a balun, not a transformer, a balun in this case, and then coax into the house and into the shack. But that should do quite well.
Yeah, I don't even, I would love to put a vertical up, you know, give it a try, but I don't even have the room. I mean, you walk out my back patio, you take 20 paces and you're into the fence already, so backyard is very limited in size.
You'd be surprised what you can do with a small backyard and some creativity. The biggest problem with verticals is usually the YL.
Well, when I moved into the house, I was going to put a flagpole disguise antenna up in the front yard, and just never got around to making it.
People do that. I prefer wire antennas, and for some things, verticals are better. For other things, horizontal wire is better, but you got to get the wire fairly high up off the ground. And there's all sorts of ways of making your own masts out of wood, or you get fiberglass masts, push-up fiberglass masts. I'm waiting on now a couple of 16-foot crappy poles from Cabela's I'll be using for some of my summits on the air activations. And I'm going to experiment with those. They're so cheap, it'd be crazy not to try one.
If I use a push-up, I would have to trim a pine tree that's hanging over my property from my neighbor's property.
Well, if you got a tree in your neighbor wouldn't mind you throwing a wire over it or a rope up and then, you know, hold the end of a wire up from it.
Yeah, I don't see them wanting me to do something like that.
Well, it won't hurt the tree and it never hurts to ask, although, you know, then they'll figure out that you're a ham operator. They may or may not know that already.
No, they know. They know. They questioned what the antennas were when they moved in, and I told them exactly what I was and what I did, and, you know. He's like, oh, I thought you talked to Mars. Yeah, you know, you always get that answer.
Now, I haven't made any QSOs with alien life forms yet, but Mars is a possibility. It's an acronym for Military Amateur Radio Station, but that's all separate discussion, and the locals wouldn't understand the joke. But yeah, there's all sorts of things you can do, and frequently you will get a friendly cooperative neighbor. I've got one on one side of me, and eventually I'll get something even longer up to something on his property, and I just have to figure out what and when. Will it be hard to get the coax into the house? Most of that coax into the house is, can you just pull it through the hole in the wall or however you penetrated the building side?
No, I just drilled a hole and brought everything in. I have three lengths of LMR 400 coming through.
Okay, so I'm guessing you got UHF and VHF and a few other things there as well. Yeah, it would be better if you get the end of that antenna up a little bit higher, even, you know, 10, 15 feet. And you could do that with wooden posts or push-up fiberglass or other things, or maybe your neighbor will let you throw a rope up over the tree or shoot a rope up over and then haul things up that way. I've got ropes through my trees, and that's what I'll use to haul my off-center fed up there. W2TU, W2SE.
Well, when I originally bought the house, I had two trees in the front of the house. But after purchasing the house, a friend of mine who was owns a tree company came by and took a look at it and said it had to come down. One of them had to come down. That would have been perfect because then I could have just did a V into the two different trees. But push-up mast is something I'm considering. The support that I made for the masting between the cement in the ground and the supports on the shed will support that kind of a mast.
You could start just by getting a piece of 4x4 inch pressure treat, as long as you can possibly get one. Just do direct burial into the ground. You don't need concrete. And depending on the length of it, the normal routine is divide the length of the pole by 10 and add 2 feet. And that's how far it has to go into the ground.
Yeah, the mast fits into a piece of PVC sleeve that's cemented into the ground underneath the shed to the side. Like I said, putting a push-up would not be an issue. If actually I go high enough, I would be out of the tree's way. But also, coming off of the mast, I have a 2-foot piece of a fiberglass brace that comes off the mast, and then from there, I have a heavy-duty bungee cord that holds the wire away from the mast. And I did that because the way I figured if the tree was starting to sway or anything, that would be my my give point on the wire.
Oh, okay. Depending on what kind of rope you're using, some of the paracord is fairly stretchy also. It'll give you a little bit of zing.
Well, the rope I'm using is a Dacron, and I bought that from DX Engineering. So it really does not give.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. It's the black woven stuff, and it's probably about a quarter inch in diameter. It's a little less, maybe. And it's fairly heavy, and it doesn't stretch that much. You can always get a pulley and a counterweight and just use the counterweight to take up the slack and keep the antenna tense, you know, straight.
Well, maybe my neighbors won't notice if I send it across the street to another tree.
I don't know about crossing a street. Usually you're going over power lines, and that's something you want to try to avoid. And the town, when they spot it, usually get kind of upset about those sort of things.
Oh, yeah. You know. I know when Willie P. came over here, and we were getting ready to launch the fishing line with the weight, we were standing about 75 feet from my property line in an intersection. And, you know, and we, like, looked at each other, and he's like, "You know the cops are around here, don't you?" So I started laughing.
Yeah, it's always fun getting lines up over trees. What kind of launcher were you using?
W2TU. I believe it's called an Airboss. I think the name of it was an Airboss. It's an air pneumatic. And it definitely worked because, like I said, we were standing at the intersection across the street from me, so on the other side of the street in the middle. And we launched it, and it almost went up over the tree, which is probably about 60, 70 feet, maybe more, and almost launched into my backyard. So it definitely works.
Oh, a number of folks in the club have launchers of various types and designs. Some guys use tennis balls and a bigger piece of PVC pipe. The one I think I liked the best was a dart about 3/4 of an inch to an inch in diameter with a lead weight sort of molded and screwed into the tip. And that was launched from a compressed air gun, kind of like a potato launcher. And that thing will go, you don't need to get that far away from the tree. A 60-degree angle will do it. It'll go straight over and then some.
I was looking into some of those, and being that I work for a municipality, I asked a detective if, you know, like a risk rocket type launcher is legal, and he said even anything to do with a risk rocket, even if it has the fishing line or anything, that's considered a firearm, and it's illegal in the state of New Jersey.
I don't know that it's illegal in the state of New Jersey. Yes, it is treated as a firearm. That's very clear in the laws that I've read through so far. Being that it is treated as a firearm means if you wanted to buy one, assuming somebody sold it in New Jersey, you'd actually have to go through, you know, having a long gun permit and then getting a NICS check through the state police down in Trenton. On the other hand, if you happen to have one of these things obtained in another state, as you own it, I don't know if there's any regulation about bringing them in. If there was a regulation, it'd be specifically for the wrist rocket / slingshot varieties. There's all sorts of things you can buy outside of the state that are legal in Jersey. You just can't buy them in Jersey.
That is correct. And I was going to, I was thinking of using my crossbow. And I don't think the neighbors would have appreciated me using that.
And the other challenge, technically, as it is a firearm, if you discharge it in town limits, there's probably some regulation about that as well.
I know a couple of the websites I went on to for the wrist rocket style, it clearly states cannot sell to a couple of states, and one of them is New Jersey, right in there.
There's tons of plans out there for the potato-style launchers, where you just charge it up from a compressed air tank. It uses a sprinkler valve and a bunch of PVC piping. And those things are very easy to build, very easy to homebrew, and they work well.
Yes, they do. And as for potato launchers, we built one at work one time, and we launched a potato probably 300 yards into a park and almost hit a police car that was sitting out there watching.
Yeah, that will get the attention of the police if you do that. Not recommended. W2TU, W2FC.
Yeah, well, he left our garage and had to go down there to see just how far, you know. We were all in on it.
And those things will throw potatoes quite a ways, particularly if you're using the smaller spuds. And if they do hit something solid, they tend to break into about a zillion pieces. We tried in at a friend's house in upstate Pennsylvania, and we were hitting trees at about 100 feet, and the potato made a wonderful splat when it hit. Some people use weighted tennis balls or weighted other types of rubber balls, but I kind of prefer the dart with the weight on the end myself. And I've seen that used, and it works great. And we use it frequently for things like field day and whatnot.
Years ago, they used to sell a thing called a lawn dart. You know, these extra large darts. And, I remember as a kid, you know, we would be standing in the field and throw them straight up in the air, and then you got to sit there and wait to see where it's coming down, and, you know, almost get the thing impaling you.
Yeah, I can remember lawn darts till people decided they were too dangerous, but the idea is you throw them all the way to the other side, far end of the lawn where nobody's standing around, but apparently a bunch of kids decided, let's play catch with lawn darts. Not a good plan.
Yeah, that was me and my friends. We were the brave nuts. You're not even allowed to own them anymore. You're not allowed to resell them, and pretty dangerous.
Yeah, we've got just so many laws to protect stupid people from themselves.
Well, they always say take the warning labels off everything and let it begin, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to let Darwin out for a good run every once in a while, see what happens. It's always fun and amusing, too. But you can read about silly things, too, and it happens all the time. But lots of things we used to do as kids are frowned upon nowadays. Well, hopefully between the LMR 400 coil and the broadcast filter, try each one separately to see which one does the best job for you.
That is good advice. Yeah, I'm going to definitely, I know Saturday I have some time to myself, so that's when I'll be able to do it.
Yeah, and you can raise things up above the shed with pressure treat, 2x4s, 4x4s, whatever, and you can get up, you know, if you build it right, 15, 20 feet without too much difficulty.
All right, I am being motioned to get off the radio. I need to get ready to go to bed and get up early.
Okay, Chris, well, 73, you'll let us know how it turns out. I know you'll be in touch with Steve, and Steve and I communicate regularly. We also activate SOTA together quite often. Summits on the air. So we use NFEDs on collapsible fiberglass poles most of the time. Anyway, 73 is, and I'll see you down the log. W2TU, W2SE.
W2TU. Alright, nice meeting you, and good talking with you. And I will catch you. W2TU.
73, Chris.
This is Kate. Listening. KD2JHE.
Set screws on it. because it's got a very small footprint.
All right, I'll have to look it up, see what it looks like. Yeah, that should be good enough. I don't see any problem in that.
Yeah, the 220 is a Larson NMO. It's a monoband. It's really, really lightweight.
Yeah, like I said, I'm pulling it up now. Let me just see what it looks like. It looks okay. I don't think you'll have a problem with that. They make it in a UHF mount also.
Yeah, but the antenna that I'm using, the one that I got from Bill, that's a pretty beefy antenna. So I needed something with four set screws. So I'm pretty happy so far anyway with this RS-730. We'll see how it lasts, you know, going over the bumpy roads, through the winter, etc. But it'll get me through the summer at least. Hopefully more than that, but it's doing a good job. Hopefully they'll get the repeater straightened out. I expect it to be talking to you from my house, you know, from my driveway. Actually, this spot at the top of my driveway, I can get this thing full scale.
Yeah, I could tell you about at home with my little setup that I got at home on the, and I got the 7900 there. I'm back up the full scale on the reading when it transmits.
Now, how long is it going to take to get this cavity situation straightened out?
They said the email, I think, hopefully in about a week or so. I copied you on the email. I just sent it to you before.
Okay. I think I am getting the emails. I just don't check them that often.
Well, that's one of the first things I do when I turn my computer on, because you know what, my prehistoric phone, this is really the only place that I can get an email.
After I get my coffee, I should be within range of, or getting within range of the tri-state. Go back over there and talk to Mark. He's probably not too far away from me now. I'm coming up to the New York State line. He's coming down 684, getting on 287, and then heading over the Tappan Zee Bridge.
Yeah, I was listening. Then he's going to go to Route 23, because Route 23 goes right into Cedar Grove up there, and not you know too much about that, but crosses by Route 46, you know, all that up there by what they call our Willowbrook Mall.
Yeah, all that rings a bell. I'm just not sure where it is. I know Cedar Grove, isn't that where KJI is? Or was he there?
He used to be in Caldwell, New Jersey. Now he is on Route 23. Actually, it's Pompton Avenue in Cedar Grove. That's a continuation of Route 23.
I wonder what's in Cedar Grove that he's delivering to.
I think he's picking up, if I'm not mistaken, but that doesn't matter. There's industry up there. They got a section up there. There's industry all over the place.
Okay, I thought maybe he had a load of radios for KJI. Excuse me, sorry for yawning in your face. I even went through my phone and set it, but you know what I did wrong is I don't think I saved it. I set it and then turned the phone down, and I didn't save it, and that's why it woke me up in my usual 12:45. I had it originally set for 11:45.
No biggie, I'll get to see it. And if you could get a email off to me with a picture somehow, I eventually get them, but sometimes it takes a while.
Yeah, you know what it is. I think I need a really good signal to get an email out, because I saw that it didn't go out. It said failed. So I went outside, and I tried it again. And when I went outside and I got a better signal, it sent. So I don't know what the hell's going on. I usually do it from my house, because I have a better Wi-Fi signal there, but that doesn't seem to work always either.
N1LU KD2BOR. I saw the pictures. Just as I pulled them up and looked at both pictures, you texted me and said you sent me the pictures.
Okay, well, at least when they go through quickly. But hopefully you got an idea what it looked like. I like the way it looks. Now it's just a little off balance. Now I gotta get one on the other side.
Yeah, you look like one of those old Chevys from the late 50s and early 60s. They came with an antenna on one side on the back quarter panel, and guys used to put another one on the other side so it looked even.
Hey, remember the days of the, when you had an antenna for your radio? Kids used to snap them off and then sword fight with them or something? Or you'd replace it with one that was retractable? That was really the fancy thing back then. Guys that knew how to do it would replace their antenna with one that was retractable.
Yeah, power antenna. And sure, I remember a radio antenna on the car, because my truck still has one.
Well, I don't see too many anymore. You know, I've got that little rubber duck kind of thing on the top of my roof. I don't know if that's for the regular radio or the Sirius. I got the Sirius radio in here, so I don't think I'm going to subscribe to it. I don't need another bill. But a lot of them, my Mazda had it in the windshield.
Yeah, I have an antenna on my right fender sticking up, or out of the right cowl panel, whatever you want to call. That's for AM and FM. Then I got a smaller little antenna on my roof, which is for my OnStar, my hands-free phone, and my XM radio.
Well, a lot of people on the road today. I got one guy crawling up my ass. He doesn't know I'm getting ready to get off this at the mobile station. I'll catch you in a few. I'll catch you back here for a couple of minutes, and we'll swing over to Tri-State. KD2BOR N1LU.
All right, very good. I'll be here. KD2BOR. On your car with your remote control?
Yeah, but on my Mazda, all I had to do was have the keys in my pocket, and there was a little button on the doorknob. I could hit that with my knuckle or my nose or my whatever, and the door would open. With this one, I have to find the keys to open it.
Oh, all right, I know what you mean. Let's put it this way. You were spoiled for 3 years. Now you're back to basics.
Yeah, I'll get used to it eventually. It's just that, you know, I'm walking from the mobile stop with my snack and my coffee in my hand, and then I get to the car expecting just to press the button and get in, and then I said, ah, crap, I gotta find my keys now.
Oh, all right. How's our buddies up there? Are they still meeting in the morning and exchanging their dirty underwear?
She's there right now. She went in the mobile station to get a cup of coffee. They used to do it earlier. I guess she was tired of getting up that early.
Or maybe they knew you were watching them, so they started coming when you get there.
Yeah, who knows? Although I haven't sat there long enough to see him show up, but she's been there for the last couple of days. I'm dying to ask her, what the hell are you guys doing here?
How does she look?
She looks pretty good.
Maybe you should ask her if you have a snapshot and send it off to me, but you better get it out of your phone after you do that.
Well, I told you one time somebody showed up, not the regular guy. Somebody else showed up while she was waiting and got in the passenger's side and kissed her. And it was some guy, so I don't know if that was her husband or her date or what.
Sounds like a fishy story to me here.
Yeah, my curiosity is getting the better of me. I'm dying to know what the hell they're doing. I was surprised to see her here, though. I know I used to see her when I left the house a lot earlier.